kicking off our 13th year. This is Golf Smarter number 618, brought to you by Flavier. Go to flavier.com/exclusive and use the coupon code GOLFSMARTER and then have the experts teach you about and share the finest spirits delivered to your home. And stay tuned after the interview for the launch of the Golf Smarter Academy with Tony Manzoni. Golf Smarter Academy is presented by Health IQ, an insurance company that helps health-conscious people like runners, cyclists, weightlifters, and vegetarians get lower rates on their life insurance. Go to healthiq.com/golfsmarter to support this segment and see if you qualify. The 8th kinda annual Matty B Awards honoring the 2017 PGA Tour.
This is Golf Smarter, sharing stories, tips, and insights from great golf minds to help you lower your score and raise your golf IQ. Here's your host, Fred Green.
Welcome back to the Golf Smarter Podcast, Matty B.
So great to be back, Fred. It's the highlight of my year every time I do it.
Oh my gosh, this is something I look forward to. This is our 8th kinda annual Matty B Awards show.
And we've done 8?
This will be the first one we did was in 2009.
Oh, that's scary.
Yeah. We did for the 2009 season, 2010, 2011, 12, 13, 14, 15.
Wow.
And then for the last year, for 2016, we did the Masters. So it was your recap of the Masters.
That's right. That's right. I remember one year we actually did this, the Matty Awards, and I was on vacation and I did it from my car in the driveway of my beach rental. True story.
Yep. Then we had the drinking game we did on New Year's Eve.
Oh, yeah. That was my favorite.
Legendary.
Episode.
And that's still on video. That's available. And then we even did a show that wasn't one of the award shows, but we did a show from your car. We were driving back.
Oh,
we played
that's
golf.
That's right. Yes.
And we drove back from the golf course and we recorded an entire episode in the car while you were driving.
That's right. Probably a golfing podcast first.
Could have been.
I would think. Yeah.
Could have been. I don't know. I don't track those things.
Well, I hope all your listeners had a great year. And it's this time of year that we like to look back on things, Fred. And I was actually looking on your site because it's been a while because I'm busy now.
Yes, you are. I wanted to talk to you about your busyness.
Yeah, I got a day job, which I don't recommend to anyone out there. Don't.
Not if
don't
you're a golfer.
No, 20 years I was on my own and then I stupidly decided to take a day job and not a great decision.
Yeah, but Matty B, come on, that's not what you call a normal day job.
You're
a radio host, right?
Yeah, I got a show on the radio.
You don't call it a disc jockey anymore, right? It's not a disc jockey. You're a
well. I mean, I guess people do. I don't. But that's not my job. I don't like.
You don't play records.
Right. We don't play records. There is music on my show there, but it's all pre-programmed and stuff. You're a radio personality, I would say. It would be more.
Right. Okay. A radio personality.
So yeah, I got a show back in my hometown in Boston. I got this offer we'll be celebrating our first year. January.
And what station?
So it's called WAAF. It's a legacy rocker in Boston, a rock station. And I'm doing the afternoon drive show. It's called Matty and Nick with my partner, Nick Stevens. And we basically just try to, you know, make people have a fun ride home after a tough day's work. A lot of fart jokes. We talk about sports, music, yeah, pop culture, everything in the news. We just kind of do. We play games for prizes. We do the whole thing. You know, we just it's a show. It's a radio show.
So I'm just curious if I was if Nick was on the show with me right now, you weren't, and I asked him about the show, would he say that it was called Nick and Matty?
Yeah. No, he knows where it's bread is buttered, Fred.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. No, it's an equal partnership. It's just Matty and Nick sounded better.
And you talk sports as among other things on this show?
Yep. We have a hourly sports report. We have a character, Fitzy, who comes in. He's a Boston knucklehead who does the sports. And it's a blast. You know, it's fun. It's been a really fun year. We've done live broadcasts. I interviewed Metallica. You know, just a bunch of cool things like that.
Wow.
And so I'm still able to do the acting thing. I did a film. I had a little part in a film this year called Rough Night.
Cool.
Which has Scarlett, Scarlett Johansson is a star of that, and I play a cop in that. Yes, another cop.
Well, let me guess. The Irish guy from Boston, let's make him a cop. Okay, fine.
Yeah, yeah. It happens a lot. If you look at my IMDb page, it's like cop, cop, FBI agent, cop, state trooper, cop. But yeah, and then I'm still hosting the show for History Channel, the companion show that goes along with The Curse of Oak Island.
Nice.
My show's called Drilling Down, so I've done 2 one-hour specials, and I have a third one-hour special on the History Channel coming up at the end of this season 5 when the season finale airs. I come on and do a one-hour special on what was season 5, what did we find, and will there be a season 6?
And?
I can't answer that, or I'd have to kill you.
Okay, fine. So then let me ask you, how many times, your show on the radio is what, 4 hours?
Yeah. Three to seven.
Three to seven. How many times per show, per 4 hour period, do you guys say wicked?
A lot. I'll tell you at least twice a show, because the sports report is called the Wicked Piss of Sports Report by Fitzy. So
there you go.
That's sponsored, so we have to say that.
You got to say Wicked Pissa.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's been really fun. It's not what I expected, you know, this year to be doing. I didn't come home to get a radio job, but you know, when you get offered something with your name on it, you're stupid if you say no. I think you, as I've said before, Fred, you ride the horse in the direction the horse is riding.
There you go. And I say, when the wind's blowing, you don't act like an oak, you act like a willow and bend with the breeze.
That's it, baby.
Ride the wave.
That's the wave.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's see. Are we going to really skewer the 2017 PGA Tour?
Hold on. Let me take my hoodie off here and I get in my tux. Hold on. Okay. Here's my tux jacket. Yes, it is time for the Maddies, Fred. Here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the 2017 Maddie B Awards.
Very exciting. It's great to be here again. Roll out the red carpet. Get your tuxes on. There are some new awards this year. You know, I always sprinkle in a couple new ones, Fred. And we're going to start with a new one. The Maddie for Monkey Off His Back.
Monkey. Can we guess? Can we raise our hands?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Sergio.
Sergio Garcia wins the Maddie for his victory at the Masters. That's
Yay.
Exactly right, Fred. This was Mr. Golf is against me. Augusta is unfair. He got the reputation as a guy who's never going to win a major. He actually, in a way, kind of accepted it that he wasn't going to win a major. And then he breaks through, faces adversity during that round, and comes through and wins. It was a great victory. And I think, Fred, really, when you think about 2017, maybe a little forgotten. And I'm trying to figure out why, you know, I'm seeing all these years in review now on all my golf Twitter that I follow and the writers and bloggers. And it seems to be kind of just mentioned. And then they talk about Justin Thomas or whatever, or the rules controversy or the LPGA dress code or something, or Trump in golf. But they don't talk about how big it was that Sergio won the Masters. I think maybe because it's the first tournament of the year. I don't know. Maybe you have thoughts on that.
Well, I think that 2017 has probably been the strangest year in my life, and not on a personal level, on just on a being living in the world level. It is just
I'm not sure what
bizarre.
You're talking about, Fred. Things are going absolutely fantastically.
I'm not going to address that. And it's just too strange. But even in the golf world, let's go back to that quickly. You didn't have victories from Jason Day, Rory, True. Phil, True. Right? 56 True. Tournaments between the three of them, and they didn't win once. But everyone that won were diaper babies.
Yeah, absolutely.
It seemed like it was all 20-somethings.
Yeah, that's true. And there's been that, you know, recurring theme that guys win a major and then disappear too.
Yeah.
Maybe not forever, but, you know, Danny Willett last year. Jason Day, even you mentioned Jason Day, he had a breakthrough season and then kind of like he just fell off the face of the earth this year a little bit. Yeah. The end, he kind of came back. So you're right. Maybe it's a little perfect storm of that. It was the first major of the year and that you had all these big storylines this year too, that something like that. Normally, I think in a normal year, if you have a journeyman, a veteran, a superstar of the sport, and he finally breaks through and wins a major, that would be the unquestionable story of the year. That's all. And you would hope for one story like that in a year. And 2017, I think we had a few of those. So, yeah, I guess that's why.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'll accept that. So the Monkey Off His Back Award to Sergio Garcia. Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
Yeah, it's a big one.
That's a good one. A little golf clap for him. All right. Yes. Award number two.
Okay, this Maddie goes to the most Maddie-like shot of the year during a professional tournament. And this one is going to go to a guy who will show up on this list several times. Jordan Spieth for his driving range drop shot at Royal Birkdale.
Oh, God.
An unbelievable moment on the 13th hole. You know, it's rare when a guy wins majors and looks like an amateur, like looks like us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He was dropping from the driving range, Fred.
That was it was truly remarkable to watch that you're sitting here screaming at the TV going, don't do it. Don't do it. Just take the drop. What are you doing? Golf smarter. Well, he's never heard golf smarter.
No, he clearly hasn't listened. The second he hit the drive and you see it just spin right on 13, you're like, oh no. And he put his hands on his head, I remember, and it was like, oh no. He's going to blow it, you know?
Right.
And then you see him in the range. I think the whole thing from soup to nuts took like, if I remember correctly, it took like a half hour.
Yeah. I was going to say like 25 right? minutes. Yeah.
Yeah.
First they had to find it.
Right. That's right.
And then the lining, I think what took most of the time though was lining the shot up, wasn't it? And getting a target line and figuring out how far he was and.
Yeah. And the ruling, like he was working a lot with the official and the ruling, like how far back can I drop? What's in my way? What's the structure? What's not? So that took forever too.
Right.
And then he made, and then he made an unbelievable up and down basically for bogey from there after he hit the shot. So,
and wasn't the next couple holes were amazing as well? Didn't,
yeah. And then, well, then you get the eagle on 15, the go get that eagle. So, an unbelievable tournament. And he gets the Maddie for most Maddie-like shot of the year because I have hit out of places on a golf course that you are not supposed to be in at all.
Oh, wait. So I thought you were saying that the hit like a Maddie was the drive, not the recovery shot.
Both, actually. Let's give him two Maddies.
Congratulations, Jordan. You had two Maddies this year.
He's not done yet, by the way.
Oh, he may walk away. This may be the year of the Spieth.
Yes, absolutely. I'll present to you another new Maddie, Fred.
Award number three.
This is the Maddie for the I'm not crying, you're crying moment of the year.
I'm not a puppet, you're a puppet.
There were a few nominees this year, Fred. There was the 21 Drive Salute at Bay Hill in honor of Arnold Palmer, because it was the first year that Arnie wasn't there, led by Sam Saunders. Remember, they all lined up on the range and hit drives, ceremonial drive at the same time.
Yeah.
The whole storyline of Stuart Sink's wife and the Sink family battle with breast cancer. And then I would have actually given this, when I was thinking about it today, to Patrick Cantlay, who was the number one ranked amateur. And then he had all kinds of back injuries. And then his caddy and friend was killed right in front of him.
Oh, my God.
And he actually was covered in blood. And it was a terrible, terrible story. Like, watched his friend die. And after all the injuries, has that happened to him. Finally comes back, and he wins at the Shriners. But I think that qualifies for 2018, that win. So I couldn't – so because that would have won easily, I think. Because that – you know, watching him win that tournament was just unbelievable. But I think that was a 2018. So the winner.
But you know, the PGA Tour really never ends. So I think we're talking about.
It doesn't.
It doesn't. I mean, as soon as the seasons, they go, okay, season's over and we'll be back next week. What? I think that it's the calendar 2017 is that we're awarding here.
All right. Well, I'm confused of when it's like Walking Dead or Game of Thrones. I don't know when the season ends. I know we're mid-season replacement here. We're at the halfway finale point. I don't know what the hell's going on. There's flying dragons.
If it wasn't for those four majors, we wouldn't know where we were.
I know. So I didn't give it to him just because I thought, well, if it bled into 2018, I'll stick with 2017. And this is just a worthy of a Maddie as that, I think. Again, the Matty for I'm not crying, you're crying moment of the year goes to Stacey Lewis, who hadn't won a tournament in 3 years, pledges her winnings before the tournament to Houston Hurricane Relief Funds, and on the final hole makes an incredible par. I think she was in the bunker, and she made like a par save. And the sponsor ends up – that whole end of that tournament, Fred, was like a tear fest, because then the sponsor matches her donation. Her husband surprises her on the green. She's crying. He's crying. The people around the green are crying. I'm not crying. Shut up, Fred.
Nor am I.
So unbelievable. And all that money to call your shot, in a sense, to say, if I win, again, a girl hadn't won in 3 years. If I win, I'm going to give the money to Houston Hurricane Relief. And then to win is just that's a great moment.
I need to regroup. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Maddie B, are we doing, is this because this is the year of the Weinstein that we're doing the PGA and LPGA? It's like, no, are you not doing hottest wife and best dressed anymore because you don't want to be accused of anything?
Fred, I'm glad you noticed that. Yes, I think in this day and age of 2017, after this year, I'm not going anywhere near any of that. In fact, I had an award for the LPGA dress code controversy, and I decided to scrap it.
Yeah, good idea.
Okay, good.
Because if people go back and listen to our old shows, it wouldn't really fly too well these days.
We've all learned. It's been a big year for all of us.
And it must be harder for you now that you said have a day job. You've got to deal with people.
Oh, it's awful. I like the idea of there being other people. I just don't like the reality.
Yeah. Okay, enough banter. Now, award number four.
Okay, this one goes to the best musical performance in a police dash cam video.
What? The best musical performance in a police dash cam video.
Mm-hmm.
Are you auditioning for another part here?
I don't want to tell you how to do your job, Fred, but you might want to put in a little drop of the actual video here because it is classic. And it's funny now because he's okay. But, of course, the Matty goes to Tiger Woods for his I Won't Sing the National Anthem Backwards performance in the police dash cam video of his DUI arrest. An incredible moment that I'll never forget.
Okay, is that kicking a guy when he's down, or is that was just too funny?
It's only funny now because he's okay. At the time,
yeah,
it's funny. And it's, well, let's give him a comeback player of the year too while we're at it.
Sure.
To dovetail off that, let's give him Matty for the comeback player of the year, because in Memorial Day, I did my golf show Facebook Live episode, and the whole episode was like the day after that came out. And then we had the video of him, by the way. Oh, and I should mention, Fred, that Tiger won another Matty, three. He won a technical Matty. Of course, these are the technical awards given at another event on another night. But he won that for his video that came out on the police station security camera footage when he couldn't stand up straight. So we go from a DUI thing where the cop literally says to him, don't sing the alphabet. Do you understand those instructions? And Tiger responds, I won't sing the national anthem backwards, I think was the actual quote.
Okay.
And then he proceeds to sing the alphabet because he was just so out of it. So it would be kicking him when he's down. However, he's okay now. And when I did that show 6 months ago, the day after or two or whatever, 3 days after that video, the whole theme of the episode was like, is Tiger going to be okay? Right. And I kept saying, like, I don't care about golf. I just want him to be okay. Like, this is like the video you see before the person does something really awful, you know?
Right.
And then in November, it becomes, is he going to win this thing? You know what I mean? So in 6 months, Fred, he literally went from rock bottom of a life to playing with the top golfers in the world and looking like old Tiger at times in 6 months.
Amazing.
That's incredible.
Especially because it's taken this many years to get him to a spot. But can you really give a guy a comeback player of the year for three good rounds?
When he's Tiger, you can.
Okay, fine. So that was award number 4, 5, and 5+, 5B.
Yes, yes. Typical Maddie's. We're not even drinking, and we've already lost control of this thing.
Okay, then let's go to award number 6.
This is like the old Dean Martin roast. It starts off all nice, and by the end of it, everyone's ties off. Naked people are running around.
Oh, those were so good. None of that humor would fly today. It just
can't do it.
It's not funny to be drunk. It's not funny to be demeaning. It just,
I would say if you are a fan of drunken, demeaning comedy, then listen to Maddie and Nick in Boston 3 to 7 weekdays.
Nick and Maddie.
We still get away with it. Yeah, all right, sorry. Nick and Maddie.
Nick and Maddie on FAAW.
All right, before we get to the big ones, we're in the home stretch now, yes. Fred, where we give the big awards, big daddies, every Maddie, big award, the classic
big,
Matt.
Really
everyone
big.
Wants.
Big awards. Big awards.
Let's give an honorary 97X. Maddie.
Honorary
yes.
Maddie.
Yes, an honorary Maddie from time to time. You know, I like to give an honorary Maddie to someone for past performance or a past legend. And this year, it's going to go to the great Golden Bear himself, Jack Nicklaus, because 2017 may have proved that he is probably correct on his assessment that we have to do something about equipment and the ball and course design. Because this year we had the year started off with 259s. That could have been 57s. I think Brandon Grace shot a 62 at the Open Championship record. We had guys like Justin Thomas at the U.S. Open hitting 300-yard three woods into 600-yard par fives and making it look like he was hitting a five iron from 190. I mean, 300-yard three woods, like effortless. So I would say Jack Nicklaus has been vindicated that something probably needs to change. I don't know what. I haven't sussed it out yet enough to really tackle that issue, to have a strong take on it, which I like to have in all issues in golf. I like to have a strong take, as you know, because I don't know that changing equipment will solve it. Maybe course design would have course changes, maybe make the courses not as crazy long, but make them harder. I don't know.
Yeah. Test the short game. Go after the short game, you know, because like there was one round I was watching recently and DJ Dustin Johnson and John Rahm were playing side by side and they each had drives that went over 400 yards.
Yeah, it's silly. It's silly.
I think the conversation of bifurcation of a set of rules for tournament play, whether it's PGA tournament or your local course tournament and everybody else is screaming to happen. Although pretty much everyone plays their own rules anyway. But still, I think you need two sets of rules. I really do.
Yeah, I'm totally for that. It's ridiculous that, it's ridiculous. They play a different game than we do, and everyone knows it, and everyone's known that for a long, long time. You're probably right, Fred. There was a couple drivable par fours on tour this year that were, you know, they're all the rage now, and where the player has to decide. And if you look at ShotLink, most of them are trying to drive it. And yet the scoring averages on those holes aren't terribly lower than they would be on, like, say, a difficult par four, traditional difficult par four. So I think that's exciting. I think that's probably the answer. Like, provide a risk reward where there's real risk and real reward.
Sure.
But the players are culpable on this angle too, because they have to stop bitching. Because what happens is, if they do design, let's say they design a course with like a seriously undulating green and then there's runoff, and if they don't hit it, they're going to have trouble making up and down. The players will bitch about that from the Wednesday of the Pro-Am to the Monday after the winner is announced. You know, they'll bitch about the condition, the unfair setup. So they are responsible for this too. They have to then step up and say, all right, our score is getting ridiculous. Maybe they don't care. I guess someone wants to shoot a 57, but I don't know. Something probably needs to be done.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm not sure what could be done either. But I still don't think that even though if they bitch a lot, they don't bitch as much as NBA players. I can't believe how every single one is not me. What are you talking about? I didn't do it.
Every call.
And I just want you to know, Maddie B, for you, I'm wearing my Warriors gear today because. Not that I don't want to see a fourth time in a row of Cleveland and Golden State in the finals, but right. Celtics this year? Is Haywood going to come back like in April and all of a sudden he's ready for the playoffs and just tears it up?
Well, Fred, we have like breaking news alerts here in Boston of the status of his boot. Like the other day he had his boot taken off and it was like the royal wedding in England. It was like everyone was freaking out. Like he took his boot off. Oh, my God. You know, I have very few but significant simple pleasures in my life. I love going to the movies alone. I love talking golf with Fred Green. And I love watching this Celtics team this year. Look, I loved IT. He was clutch. But Kyrie Irving is doing things. He is legit a star. I mean, he is just a different level. And it's been such a fun team. And I'll tell you this. When Hayward went down, it seemed like, oh, man, that's it. It could have been great. They had we had our little mini big three here. It's not going to happen. But then you had these younger players like Brown and Tatum step up and get minutes they wouldn't have got if Haywood hadn't been hurt. And now they're going to be like seasoned veterans by the time he comes back. So I don't sleep on the Celtics, baby, coming out of the East.
They won the East last year.
Yep.
So, why not be better this year? And I'll tell you, if we're going to talk about it for a moment there, last night the Warriors won their 10th in a row, and they didn't have Draymond, Steph, Iguodala, Sean Livingston, and Zaza Pachulia. Five of their major guys are out, and they're bringing all these young kids up, and Durant is just taking them for a ride. Klay Thompson went 9 for 9 to open the game, and he had 27 points at halftime. And I know Christmas Day is going to be tough for them against the Cavaliers, and I'm sure as people are listening to this afterwards going, yeah, that was a terrible game. Because Steph's not playing again. Anyway, enough basketball, but I'll see you in the finals, my friend.
All right. I would love it. By the way, I'm not going to cheer for the Golden State Warriors because you guys are like the Yankees at this point.
Love to hate them, huh?
You're just too good. It's just come on.
And Durant turned that around. I think people were like enamored with Steph and everything. And then all of a sudden they got Durant. And
it became the evil empire once he decided to go there. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah, definitely.
I'll have to tell you off microphone when I found out that Durant was signed as a Warriors. I can't tell you now. Anyway.
Ooh, all right.
All right. So our next award,
or something.
Yes.
Like it.
Our next award for the 2007 Matty B. Kinda annual awards.
Okay, here we go. This is the big home stretch. These are the ones, the coveted Matty Awards that everybody wants. The performance of the year by player, duo, or group.
Yes.
This year, the performance of the year goes to...
Oh, I can do sound effects. I don't need to be banging my desk. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You've got a budget now. You've done quite well.
Thank you.
The PGA and R&A for their announcement, no more viewer-submitted rule infractions.
Oh, my gosh. Yay.
Right? Right?
That
deserves a golf clap.
A much bigger than a golf clap. That was ridiculous.
I think this 2017 was a year of cleaning house. You know, you look at the sexual harassment thing that, you know, everyone was talking about.
Yeah.
You look at the disclosure of UFOs coming this year. Everywhere you look in society, people are cleaning house and saying, let's be honest, let's talk, let's change the rules, let's change the game. And I think the watershed moment this year, because in years past we've had these viewer call-ins on rule infractions, but when you have Lexi Thompson, the star of your LPGA, you know, that LPGA tour is filled with, and I hate if this sounds indelicate, but, you know, a lot of foreign players. And you have this one American, she's beautiful, She is the star. Oh, that's right. Oh God. I just triggered. Oh my God.
Can't say beautiful.
I can't even say that.
Nope.
I certainly can't call her sexy Lexi.
Nope. She's talented.
Talented and equal with men in every way.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So this talented human person, non-gender specific human person, is walking down the fairway. And she should be the star and face of your sport.
Yep.
And she's weeping because Joe Blow back home sitting on his lazy boy calls up on the wife's cell phone and says, she didn't mark a ball right, or whatever it is he thinks he saw. Absolutely. And people, I think that was the watershed moment. People were like, no mas, enough, done. Let's stop this. So thank God.
And it happened after the tournament. It was a 4-stroke penalty. Come on.
And I think she came back on the next hole after wiping the tears away and made a birdie, by the way, which is incredible.
And she made it to a playoff, but she lost the playoff.
That's right. That's right. That's right. So I was thrilled when I heard that. Saner heads prevailed. Saner club heads, as it were. And we're going to stop allowing human beings watching at home to call up and report supposed infractions during tournament of. I just love it. I think it's great. And too late, but it's.
And if anybody wants to complain about something they saw on television, call the Golf Smarter toll free line at 415-761-1498 and leave your complaint there, and we'll send it off to Tony Manzoni and see what he has to say.
Hey, speaking of Tony,
yes,
not to interrupt the flow of our award ceremony here.
Well, because we just got performance of the year. We're getting to the big stuff. But yes, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. I just wanted to say I was perusing your site because it's been a while since we've spoken. And I saw you have something up there now called Golf Smarter Academy. Yes. What is that, A? And follow up, how can I get in on it?
Oh, thank you. Well, actually, I've been doing this, requesting listeners to call in this phone line. And then Tony Manzoni is going to answer it. And then we also have been talking about Tony Manzoni and his buddies, Davey Evans and Gary Hopkins, are doing these clinics down in Palm Springs area for $75 for a 90-minute clinic. It just doesn't make sense. $75, a 90-minute clinic, three legendary instructors down in the area, and only nine students in a clinic. And they've agreed they're going to be calling it Golf Smarter Academy.
Oh, my God. Wow.
And so we're also going to be calling this Q&A that we have at the end of the show Golf Smarter Academy. Now, wow. So I'm very excited about this. It's sponsored by Health IQ, and it's just going to be a blast. And I really hope people take – I've already received a lot of emails saying, I live near Palm Springs. I'm going to be in Palm Springs. I want to take a clinic. And you should. It's going to be amazing. Do you ever make it down to the Palm Springs area, Maddie?
Very rarely.
Yeah,
just,
you should, man.
A handful of times. Yeah. I know. I love it.
Especially during the winter, man. You just got to head out there. Yeah. It's spectacular. And there's so many golf. There's hundreds of golf courses that are very playable and just spectacular. So, yeah, that's Golf Smarter. Now, here's the part you're going to appreciate. I was designing the logo for Golf Smarter Academy. And so I was doing research. And the academy part, I wanted to go with the university theme, right? Something, you know, that's why he's professor now. Tony Manzoni is our lead professor.
Love it.
And every university logo that I looked at had Latin in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, well, if we're going to legitimize this whole thing, we need a Latin phrase. And so I thought a lot about it. And there's one line that keeps recurring to me that I hear golfers say all the time, chipping a putt, chipping a putt.
Sure, sure.
So our Latin phrase is, chippus and a puttum for paris. When you see the logo, you'll see what it looks like.
Oh, I see it right there.
Chippus and a puttum for paris.
Fantastic. The logo is beautiful. Could have gone with the Matty Blake headshot, but okay, it's fine.
Thank you for asking. And now let's get to our eighth award in the kind of annual Matty B Awards.
So we have two left to get an even 10. The Villain of the Year, Maddie.
Ooh,
the bad guy of the year.
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, this is a big one. There was a few.
Yeah.
There were the three stairs that caused Dustin Johnson to fall down before the Masters and injure himself, which I thought of giving one Maddie to each stair, or possibly two to his socks that he said caused him to slip. But I'm going to go this year because it was ubiquitous. It was talked about all year long. And we haven't included really any seniors except for the honorary Maddie going to Jack Nicklaus. Bernard Langer's putting stroke. The controversy surrounding his putting stroke. Was he cheating? Is he cheating? Is he anchoring or not? That was the villain of the year. I'm interested to get your take on this, Fred, because, you know, you are a purist in terms of the heart and soul of the game.
No.
What did you think of this whole controversy?
Well, I thought that changing the rule, because it seemed like the changing of the rule on the anchored putters happened after five tournament wins in 1 year. And they're like, oh, wait, that's not right. We should change that. Mm. That's So I had a big problem with that from the start. If you're not going to allow it, don't allow it from the start. But they did that with the grooves on the wedges a couple of years ago. They got to change it because these guys are getting too good. They're getting too accurate, you know. And again, I've always felt that the PGA and the USGA were advocates for the golf course, not the golfer.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, well said. I just see a long putter. This is just my personal bias. But I see a long putter and I just immediately think something inside me just goes, I don't like it. I don't call it cheating. I don't think it's anything like that. But I see an anchored long putter and I just think it's just a personal aesthetic for me.
It's an aesthetic. It's an optics.
Yeah.
It's the optics.
Yes. Yes.
Because I don't hear you complaining about hybrids.
No, not at all. Right. Exactly. Look, I'm wildly inconsistent and hypocritical. Everyone knows that. It's my wife's pet name for me is Mr. Hypocrite.
And that's why you have a daytime radio show.
Yeah, exactly. I think it did look like he was anchoring a couple times. I don't think that's even debatable. But that's different than calling him a cheater, you know? And I certainly don't think he's that at all. He's a great man of faith and a great champion. So I'm just glad it's kind of the USGA kind of exonerated him, and we've hopefully moved past that. I would like to see him go to a regular, because look, if they banned anchoring, I'm not sure what the long putter does for you at that point.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like you might as well just switch to a putter at that point.
But he figured out how to make it work for him. He's still doing the same stroke. It's just not up against his chest.
Clearly, but I mean, how's that not getting in his head a little bit I guess it didn't because he won so much still, but
yeah,
all the discussion around, he could just end it by just getting the putter off his upper body, I guess.
But what's amazing to me is the lack of adoption of the anchored putters, the long putters, because when you see something on the tour, when people see something on the tour, they're like, I got to get that. I got to do that. You know, it's like right. The balls, and you cannot introduce a golf ball into the consumer's face. You can't bring out a new product unless it's out on the tour. And if it's not, you're going to get little to no traction at all on that product.
Right.
It's very hard to get it out there. But
that's a really good point.
But people aren't buying the putters. It amazes me.
Right. But did we just have a real golf discussion I feel like I should say something inappropriate just to kind of.
Well, I actually, villain of the year, I want to give my own shout out to Gary Player and Robert Trent Jones Jr., unless I just stepped on your toes on this one.
Never, never. The Maddies is ours, Fred. It's not mine. It's ours.
It's Maddie B Awards.
Academy.
So I think that when Gary Player said that Robert Trent Jones probably has amnesia or senility has set in, because when they were talking about Chambers Bay.
Yeah. Not his most elegant moment, but
no.
Hey.
No. I'm not a puppet. Oh, God. All right, villain of the year, Bernard Langer's putter was the villain of the year.
Yes. The stroke and the putter, the whole deal.
All right, our next award, number nine.
Are we on nine? I thought we were, was that nine?
I don't know.
I think we're on 10. I think we're on 10. I could be wrong.
Okay, number 10.
I'll throw an extra Maddie in there. We already thrown in like three extras.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
That's why I lost count.
This is the big one. This is what we always close with, I believe. Player of the Year.
Yes.
The Maddie for Player of the Year. Now, this is going to be controversial.
Really?
You might get some emails. I think so. A little bit. Because the clear winner.
Oosthuizen.
According to. Not that controversial.
Okay. Listen back long episodes ago. We're not even going to bring it up about Maddie and his Oosthuizen comment.
You know what just strikes me as odd is that we were talking about all the changes in 2017 and like what Time gave the person of the year whistleblowers, like all the women who came forward about the sexual harassment. And in golf, kind of the opposite happened. We took power away from the whistleblowers.
Yep.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. A yin yang thing.
Yeah. Hashtag you too.
Right. That's exactly right. Okay. Here we go.
Okay.
Player of the Year.
Yes, sir.
This is a big one.
Okay.
The consensus pick among pretty much every golf blogger and everyone out there, and certainly the PGA Tour, is Justin Thomas, who won five times, and one of which was a major. He won the PGA at Quail Hollow. So you'd assume you'd have to give it to him. But this is the Maddies, and I call the shots. And my player of the year this year goes to Jordan Spieth.
What?
Who came in second to JT. He only won three times. But I want you to think about this. A lot of players in recent years have had big years, like career years like this, like Jason Day, multiple wins, wins a major. We mentioned Danny Willett comes out of nowhere, wins a huge major, wins the Masters. Rory had a record-setting year, and next year, actually, you could say the next 2 years, struggled. So I'm trying to put this in context. Spieth was pretty much being written off this year. Remember, he switched putters at one point. He was missing cuts, and he was just not looking right. And he basically goes on to have the shot of the year three times, I think, this year. He had the shot of the year in Connecticut when he holed out from the bunker to win that in a playoff against Daniel Bard. Remember that shot with the great reaction?
The great reaction. Great video.
Then he has the shot we talked about earlier at Birkdale from literally the driving range. And then he goes on to hit that eagle at 15, and he tells his caddy, go get that, which in my opinion now takes number one in the all-time great golf reactions. I think it's the best. I used to go for I remember we've done this before on the show, actually, Fred. My favorite golf reaction, I was talking about Seve Ballesteros when he's all in blue and he did that fist, that sideways fist pump at the Open Championship. This just usurped it. When on 15 at Birkdale, when Spieth told his caddy to go get that and pointed the hole as a kind of a nod to the past, I just think that just took number one for me of reactions. He squeaked out another major, Fred, in a year when it didn't look like he was going to even win, maybe. And he ends up winning three times. That major puts him within one of the Grand Slam. So in that score, Justin Thomas has some work to do. It's nice that he broke through and won one. But you got a kid who's 24 years old who's not even legally able to rent a car yet. It's one win away from, you know, the career Grand Slam. Oh, and by the way, here's a list who's done what Jordan has done by his age in the majors. Are you comfortable? Here's the list. You ready?
Yep, here we go.
Jack Nicklaus, list is over.
Wow.
So he's the first player, I think, to have 10 PGA Tour wins and three majors before 24. He also, that major he won, Fred, he shot four rounds of the 60s, and no one had ever done that at Royal Birkdale before. So I just think that win saved him from the curse of these kind of breakthrough seasons and then nothing happens afterwards. So yes, Justin Thomas won it by math, but I think when you include the fact that Jordan won multiple times again before 25 years old, and one of them was another major, and the shots he had and the way he does it, he gets my vote for player of the year. He gets the Maddie. I know it's controversial, but I stand by my decision.
I like it. I like the choice. I'm actually kind of surprised that Jordan Spieth hasn't become the next big thing. I mean, he was for a moment, and then it kind of disappeared because we're always looking for the next Tiger, the next, you know. But
right.
Okay, so he's not that charismatic, but right. He's captivating. He's a handsome young. Oh, can we say that about men?
No, you can't. You can't.
You can say. You can't say it about women. You can't.
Absolutely not. No, he's a non-gender specific people human.
Yeah. I think Jordan's phenomenal, but I don't, I don't think that's not my vote for player of the year. I got to be honest with you, Maddie.
Well, you know, let me just say this before you give yours.
Sure.
He you're right. And I think the reason is it's a couple things. The Tiger bar's too high. So if someone doesn't win, basically the bar is what Justin Thomas did. You have to win five times in a major at least before we say that you're doing something nowadays, because the Tiger bar is so high. So there's that. I also think it's because the way he plays, he wins kind of ugly. He wins like he plays like us. He looks like us at times.
Yeah.
And so I think in the long run, people are going to appreciate that. But, you know, there's not the overpowering quote unquote game where it looks sexy. You know, he's a grinder in a lot of ways. Although if you look at his stats, he's unbelievably accurate. His greens and regulations like dominate the tour at times. And of course his putting is his putting, but I think that's part of it is how he plays. So he's not going to shoot up into superstardom, but how he acts, I just love the kid. I think he should be a superstar. You're right.
He's great. Well, I have to say that even though my player of the year may have not been highly known or even on the tour itself, but I want to award give recognition to Emily Nash.
Emily Nash.
And I'll just read this to you. Despite winning the Central Massachusetts Division III boys golf tournament by four strokes, Emily Nash did not qualify for the state tournament because she's a girl.
That's correct.
The high school junior who played from the same tees as her male competitors wasn't even awarded a trophy for finishing in first place.
Right.
And even Annika Sorenstam was so upset she invited her to play in her invitational AJGA junior golf event. Emily, we recognize you. You're a hero.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. And that was actually something we did on my show. That was a local story that went national. I didn't recognize the name. I can't believe it. It was an archaic rule, kind of an old rule. So she could basically win for the team, but she couldn't win the individual.
Ridiculous.
If that, which, you know, is just, I don't think anyone ever planned when you make these rules that, you know, things are going to get equal.
No, they never would. And I don't think that you're ever going to see, we've tried that, right? On LPGA and PGA, having a woman play, Michelle Wee tried to play in a PGA event, right?
Right. Yep.
And she wasn't really, she wasn't even winning on
the LPGA. Did too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I don't think that crossover is going to really ever happen.
Lexi will be next. They're going to have Lexi because she hits it 280 yards. So they're going to ask her to do it. I guarantee it.
Really? Is that your prediction?
Yeah.
I do.
That's my 2018 prediction. Yep.
Okay. All right. I'm going to write that down. Your 2018 prediction is Lexi on the PGA Tour. All right.
Getting an invite.
And the reason I'm writing this down because I want to share with you your predictions for the majors for 2017 after we did the Masters, and we already knew that Sergio won, but you had predictions for the British, the U.S. Open, and the PGA Championship. Not the British, the Open Championship, I'm sorry.
Okay. All right.
So who do you think do you remember who you predicted to win the Open Championship?
Let's just cut to the tape. Hey, Fred, it's Maddie. In 2016, I think Jordan Spieth's going to win it and end up probably hitting a shot from, I don't know, like the driving range. Wow, that was amazing. You had that tape.
Nope. You thought Lee Westwood was going to win the Open Championship. Let's move on to the U.S. Open. You remember who?
He played well for a while.
Yeah, he did. Okay, do you remember who you predicted to win the U.S. Open in 2017?
My guess is it's not.
Do you remember
who guessed to win the U.S.
Do you remember
Open?
Who won the U.S. Open?
Yes, I will say I said maybe Spieth.
Nope. Phil Mickelson was your prediction.
Oh God, that's such a horrible pick. That is such a heart pick. I pick him every year, and he didn't even play. He didn't even go.
Right. And what about the PGA Championship? Who do you think you predicted was going to win that one, Matty B?
I'm guessing not Justin Thomas.
Not Justin Thomas. Rory McIlroy.
Oh, God.
So I am going to go ahead and write down 2018. Lexi is going to be invited on the PGA Tour event. Okay.
One of these years, I'm going to get something right.
Exactly.
I'm not exactly Jimmy the Greek.
No, you're Maddie the Irish. Which is very threatening in Boston, I'm sure.
Yes. Ironically, with this theme of people being called racist and otherwise, I bring up Jimmy the Greek.
Okay. Hashtag me Jew. I'm sorry.
You can say that. You can make that joke.
I can make that joke. Go ahead.
That's right. Oh, what a great Maddie's, a very emotional Maddie's. Controversy.
Yep.
He talks some real golf, a couple laughs in there. And I'm going to be quite honest, since we're not doing it on camera anymore, I said we weren't drinking, but I'm pretty drunk right now.
With power, my friend, drunk with power.
Hey, it's 12 noon here in Boston. We're good to go.
I guess and it's the first day of winter. which must
That's
be a
right. How depressing.
Yeah, a great thing for people in Boston this year.
Oh. Long winter, brother.
Yeah, and the sky is blue here. I'm really hoping for a lot of rain this year.
I have a 10. This is a true story, by the way, Fred. I have a, and I can your listeners can follow me on social media, Instagram, Twitter, whatever. It's at the Matty Blake, TheMattyBlake, the Matty Blake. And you'll see that I'm telling the truth because I have pictures of it from last year in my bedroom, in my master bedroom. My master bedroom. Thank you. I have a 10 by 10 foot hitting net put up every winter in which me and my son Mad Max hit balls into in my bedroom, much to the joy of my wife.
I can't imagine what her response was. Are you serious? In your bedroom?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh. Yep.
Do you not have a lot of space in your...
We do. Nice tall ceiling, you know, the whole deal. So I said, hey, this is going in. And she wanted it out so bad. So what we did this past year was I put it, I said, if I do this, will you stick to it? And she agreed. And what I did is I put it to my radio audience and I said, should the net go or stay? And unbelievably, even women voting, a significant actually amount of women, the net stayed.
Mm-hmm. There's the player of the year award goes to your wife.
Listen, I don't want to call myself a hero, but you know,
she
if the cape fits.
Yeah, right. If the cape fits. Oh, Matty B, I love doing this with you, and I'm so glad that we've created something silly to do together each year because we don't get to see each other enough.
I know, Fred. I miss you, and I love you, and I love the success of the podcast.
Thank
you. To all the listeners of Golf Smarter. We got to come up with a name, by the way, for listeners of Golf Smarter. Like, you know.
The team.
I don't know. What is it?
Well, I will frequently, when people write to me, tell them, welcome to the team or the Golf Smarter community. I don't know.
Like a portmanteau of some kind, a portmanteau or a pun of some. I'll think of something. That's what I do.
Well, of course, we can open that up to listeners as well. If you have any suggestions of what our crew is called, please let us know.
There you go. But to all of you Golf Smarterites, all the blessings in 2018 and beyond. And we are a family. And thank you, Fred, for letting me be a small part of it every year.
Okay, the Golf Smarter Academy is coming up in just a minute. But first, let me urge you once again to check out Flavier, who wants to help you discover and experience spirits in a new and fun way. Flavier has compiled an amazing collection of more than 15,000 spirits, hand-selected by some of the most discerning spirits enthusiasts on the earth. How discerning, you may ask? Well, once a month, Flavier offers drinks from the vault, extremely rare and hard-to-find spirits available only to our members. Members also gain access to private bottlings. The first private bottling by Flavier was Deer, Bear, let me get this one right, Deer, Bear, and Moose, which was released in December of 2015. It was a 20-year-old single malt scotch, a 1995 private vintage from Tobermory Distillery. And these will continue to be available, but only to our members. Have you checked out Flavier.com yet? If you appreciate fine spirits, but don't have a resource to discover great new tastes, then you need to sign up for yourself and discover what Flavier has to offer. Now, there's usually a waiting list to get into Flavier, but they know that a significant number of golf enthusiasts are also fine spirits enthusiasts. That's why Flavier has given the Golf Smarter community an exclusive offer to join their nearly 1 million spirits enthusiasts. Go to flavier.com/exclusive. Flavier is spelled F as in Frank or Fred, L-A-V as in Victor, I-A-R, flavier.com/exclusive, and make sure to use the coupon code GOLFSMARTER when checking out. Okay, it's time to introduce you to a new segment that really was created based on the amount of email and interest you've shown in Tony Manzoni's teachings, his book, and his DVD. And here's how it works. You call our toll-free Golf Smarter Academy request line at 415-761-1498 and leave a question about or an issue that you're having with your game. We'll get Tony to answer it on the show. And when he does, you'll receive a free copy of Tony's DVD, The Lost Fundamental, and a workout shirt from Health IQ. And by the way, neither the book nor the DVD are available for sale anywhere. But there's a limited amount of DVDs available that we are giving away here. And we hope to convert Tony's book into an ebook and be available for all. Stay tuned for details on that. Welcome to the Golf Smarter Academy, presented by Health IQ, an insurance company that helps health-conscious people like runners, cyclists, weightlifters, and vegetarians get lower rates on their life insurance. Go to healthiq.com/golfsmarter to see if you qualify, and really, to help support the continuation of our academy. Let's get to our first question from a Golf Smarter listener.
Hi, Fred. My name's Joe Dolan. Your episode, last episode with Tony was really awesome. The one thing that stood out to me was about, I am a right-handed golfer, is not loading up your right side. And the point where the right hip is supposed to be over your left, or I mean your right instep, is that would be something different for me. That's not where mine is now. And I'm not able to golf in the winter here in Ohio, and I do have access to a place to hit balls. But what I'd like to do is to, first, question one, is I'm assuming that the right hip, meaning your very outside of your hip, is supposed to be over your right instep. And then my second question is I plan on trying this next spring, but I want to practice a lot in the winter to try to get a good feel for this, and I was wondering if Tony could give me some kind of a drill to try to get that feeling.
Joe Dolan, this is Tony Manzoni. Thanks for sending in your question on the right hip position. You want to set yourself so that your right hip is in line with the instep of your right foot, not on top of the foot, but on the instep of the right foot. When you start your backswing, you're going to turn your right hip behind you, okay? And by turning your hip fully, 40 to 45 degrees, you'll get a full shoulder turn. From that point on, it's just merely rotate what you wound up and unwind it on the other side so that your left hip and your left shoulder are going to go behind you. They're not going to go towards the target. They're going to go behind you, and that's going to pull the right hip, knee, and shoulder through impact. A drill for that, I do this all the time, and I see a lot of pros do it. I crisscross my arms across my chest, and I bend over into a swinging position. I make sure that my hip is aligned to the instep of my foot, and then I rotate my shoulders and hips fully. So my hips are somewhere in the 40 to 45 range, and my shoulders are pretty close to 90 degrees. And I stop there. I just feel that position, and I feel where the weight is. The weight should be, it really shouldn't have stacked up on the right foot. It should be on the instep of the right foot. And also, because you're turning, you're putting more weight towards the heel of the left foot. Now, from that stop position, unwind around the left leg, which is your axis, okay, keeping everything in place, and you're going to end up on the heel of the left foot. Now, if you practice that back and forth, you're going to start, your body's going to start remember where it's supposed to go. And then the club will follow. Remember, the arms are always pushed back by the body and pulled through by the body. So that the hips really play a big role in this. I hope this helps you, Joe. And let us know how you do.
Awesome. Golf Smarter Academy is presented by Health IQ, who uses science and data to secure lower rates on life insurance for health-conscious people like runners, cyclists, strength trainers, vegans, and more. So it's like kind of like saving money on your car insurance for being a good driver. Health IQ saves you money on your life insurance for living a health-conscious lifestyle. but they go beyond the coverage you're normally quoted by the competition. There's so much about this company that will impress you that I don't have enough time to share it all now. But here are a couple things that also don't get discussed when you're shopping for life insurance. How about family history? Well, Health IQ reduces your chance of being penalized for adverse family health history if you're otherwise healthy. With this one, which is where I fall as a swimmer, low resting heart rates. Most carriers will penalize people if their heart rate is too low. Well, Health IQ helps them recognize that this is a sign of your excellent health and fitness. Health IQ can save customers up to 33% because physically active people have a 56% lower risk of heart disease, a 20% lower risk of cancer, and a 58% lower risk of diabetes compared to people who are inactive. Health IQ is the fastest growing life insurance company with over $5 billion in coverage. So to see if you qualify, get your free quote today at healthiq.com/golfsmarter. All right, let's hear another question.
Hey, Fred, this is Howard Hayden in Memphis, Tennessee, and I've got a question for Tony Manzoni. Tony, I work real hard at connection and rotation, and I still have problems with it. I have a tendency for my arms to outrace my body, and I hit a lot of smother hooks and a lot of balls off the toe. So I want you to please, if you would, suggest the best drills to work on connection and rotation. Also, I'm curious about your thoughts on if someone really wants to improve their impact position and their ball contact, what do you think about using more of a player's type iron versus a great big game improvement type shovel iron, as we call them? I'll be interested in your thoughts, and thanks a million to both of you. Oh, and by the way, Tony, I'll be in Palm Springs on the weekend in March 2 for a golf tournament, and I'm hoping that I can schedule a group lesson with you and the other two guys for Friday, March 2 that morning with me and at least three other people that are coming to town from Tennessee to play in the tournament. Thanks for everything you do. Bye.
Howard Hayden, this is Tony Manzoni from Golf Smarter. I saw your question, and it's a good one and something that plagues everybody. The sequence of motion has to be body, then arms, especially on the downswing. What I suggest you do is take your golf swing, get to the top, you do it in a slow rhythm, and then another slow rhythm, start unwinding your body, making sure that your body is moving past the ball, or the feeling that it's moving past the ball before you hit it. The key thing is that, remember, on the downswing, your first thought has to be to turn around your left side. Make sure that at setup, you're setting up with your weight 60-40, 60% on the left side. Your right hip should be in line with the instep of your right foot. That should do the trick for you. If you get quick with it from the top, though, you're going to snap it for sure. I do, and everyone else does. That starts with the hands first. You asked about irons. I wouldn't get too severe with that and go back to the original blades. But there are some really good clubs on the market that are, they look like a blade, but they still have the cavity back. So they help you out if you heel it or toe it. You get a little bit more distance. So I wouldn't go back to the extreme. Every now and then I pull out my old McGregors I used to play, and they look like razor blades when I look down at them. So we don't want to get too crazy with this. Some of that technology is good. You don't want the real big heads, no. But no shovels, but a nice-looking blade. The last part, you're coming to the desert in March. That'll be terrific. We'll do a good job for you. And by the way, if any of this doesn't work for you, please call Golf Smarter. They'll get in touch with me, and I'll get in touch with you, and we'll go over this. But if you do Hogan did this. He did everything in slow motion so he could feel where every part was. If you do that, then it's going to work. Take care of yourself, Howard. Thank you so much for calling. Bye-bye.
So, that's installment number one of our all-new Golf Smarter Academy presented by Health IQ. I hope you enjoyed it and took away at least one tip that's going to help you. So now, let me tell you about the other part of our Golf Smarter Academy, which is what Howard alluded to and Tony issued the invitation. That's the Golf Smarter Academy face-to-face with Tony, Davey Evans, and Gary Hopkins. You've heard these guys on this show. You've heard these guys on the show before, and you've heard Tony many times, and just recently we got to meet Davey and Gary. These incredible teachers, with more than 150 years of PGA teaching experience, are teaming up to give 90-minute clinics in Palm Desert, California. They're limiting each clinic to only 9 students. So you got 9 students, 3 teachers rotating around. And the amazing part about this is we were able to convince Tony, Davey, and Gary to give these clinics for only $75 per student for the entire 90 minutes. Think about a golf lesson with one guy for an hour, and you're talking probably double the price. So for more information about these clinics and about calling in with your question, go to golfsmarter.com/academy. Hope you enjoyed the segment because it's coming back each week. And next week, we're also going to feature a brand new conversation with Mr. Tour Striker and Revolution Golf's superstar instructor. Our old friend Martin Chuck is returning to get us pumped up about playing better in 2018. Follow us at Golf Smarter on Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, and Instagram. Or send me your questions, comments, and suggestions by clicking on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarter.com.